Well, it is a wonderful day today, isn't it? It's so special for us as a church here because, unless I'm mistaken, this is the first time we have baptism in either business, rather than depending on other people or churches or places. And it's wonderful. So I would like to thank first Richard and Bobby and the family for hosting the baptism at their home and house church. I'd like to thank God for giving the idea. And just before I proceed, a couple of things to share. I assume some of you will need directions to Richard and Bobby, so I'll speak to some people, maybe not everybody. But when you come to the junction, you turn right to go to Richard and Bobby's. You turn left, there's a public car park there, so there's lots of us here, so there's plenty of space to park, so if you turn left rather than towards Richard and Bobby's, there's a car park there. But we will do that after the service, so if you need any directions or any help with it, just ask around. So, well, now the time has come for us to introduce to you our baptism candidates. So I'm pretty sure they're familiar to you, but just in case, I'll not ask you to come to the front, but Dennis, will you please stand? Okay, thank you. Lydia, will you please stand? Okay, thank you very much. Dennis and Lydia, our candidates for today. It's going to be great. Thank you, sit down. Yes, they come from very different backgrounds. Dennis works very hard studying things, doing all kinds of things, reading doctoral dissertations, and he's still asking me this week, did he come ready? Well, you don't need to do and know absolutely everything before you get baptized. Is there anybody here who knows everything there is to know about God?
No.
So that shouldn't stop us. And Lydia, a very different character, coming from a different background. Almost a year ago she was asking me, I need to get baptized, pestering me all the time. So slow down a bit, you know, and take time. And you need to prepare yourself, it's a big thing. Whether it's learning and reading or going through life experiences, practical learning, you need this. And in my experience, people sort of get overexcited and bit of a crowd pressure or things happening, and then, you know, you give up. But if you're really committed, give yourself time, a couple of months, more than a couple of months, your conviction is still there. You're on the right path, then you know that. And I spoke to Lydia last week, and she was very concerned because all these bad things started happening. And she was just worried and asking what to do. Oh, I said, wonderful, that's great news. What's he talking about? So, well, in my experience, every single person that I work with preparing for baptism, when the time comes, once, twice, three times, you can call it coincidences, but it happens 10, 15, 20 times, no. In this world, there are two powers fighting for us. The supremacy of our souls, and God is on one side, but the enemy, the devil, is on the other side. And it's not... as if there is anything particularly special about us, and none of us is perfect or good enough, but we are the small fish in the sea. The battle is really between God and the devil. And if any one of us chooses to stand up for God and chooses his side, out of pure envy and jealousy, the devil just wants to make mess of us. You may have met somebody in your life who was jealous, really, really ill-jealous, terrible feeling, isn't it? And if I can have it, you can have it. And that's why we're experiencing what you experience. But anyway, there is no need for us to worry or fear because God has been victorious over the devil through Jesus Christ. And God is more powerful than the devil. And the devil's reign will end, but God's reign will last forever. And it makes sense for us to be loyal to God, knowing all these things. So these are our two candidates, Dennis and Lydia. And usually there are things we do on the day of the baptism, but we'll do something in a slightly different order. and you'll need to make a vote as a church. Obviously, all of us who are part of the Kidderminster Church, but everybody else, feel free to raise your hands if you wish to do so. But in this case, we'll do a vote subject to baptism, because you'll have to go somewhere else. Just in case, you never know what may happen. I haven't seen the pool yet. I was promised it's brilliant. one of the candidates may decide they may put their foot in. So, oh, it's too cold. My foot is getting cold. I may get cold feet. Do you think that's where the phrase comes from? The baptismal water is too cold and people get cold feet? Who knows? Maybe. So you have to really commit to it. Despite all the trials and difficulties, it's an act of commitment. So we will make a vote now, subject to baptism. And the vote is for us to accept Dennis and Lydia into the membership of Kidderminster Fellowship Assembly of this church. So would somebody like to second this? Thank you. All in favor? Please raise your right hand. Any opposed? Well, then, subject to baptism, we will welcome you. But we'll do the proper welcome later on after the baptism. So thank you very much. And at this point, I will stop. And we'll resume our service and we'll proceed. Thank you.
So it's just the same sort of thing, we are a union after all, aren't we? Let's go to our prayer time now, if anybody has anything they want to bring before us and God, then please feel free to share it with us, and then we'll go through that period and we'll have a separate prayer afterwards. So does anybody want to bring?
Richard, I'd like you to the fellowship to keep both our youngest son in mind, who had bad news this week, a dear friend, he used to go into his place for breakfast every day, has died suddenly. He's only in his 50s, and the call went out to him, so he was the one that handled the body, and as he's struggling with the aftermath of that, and the fact that he was a dear friend, and I believe he'd be one of the pallbearers. So he's not in a good place at the moment, but we know we learn through these experiences and can identify with other people. We had the same when we got back home. We found out that one of Ray's friends had taken his own life. He'd had a leg removed some time ago from
about 4 years ago on a motorbike. I learned that last night that his marriage was split up. But he'd also got an infection in his hip when he'd had his leg off. And he'd got to have a major operation and he won't be able to have a prosthetic leg back on. So he's going to be in the wheelchair. And I think the combination of the two was marriage. And he hung himself last Sunday.
So, you know, it's the people who know.
There are so many things we see in the world that are, you know, they just break your heart. There's no explanation for them, is there? And I think one of the biggest challenges a human being ever faces is the death of somebody they're close to, because we're not designed to experience death. God never designed us to do that. It's something that has obviously come from evil, and it affects us badly. And I think even though we find a way as humans, because we are very adaptable, we find a way to deal with these things, leaves a very big scar in our lives. And we never really get over this thing.
I've got Jeff up at Derby. I used to have breakfast with him. And he died Wednesday. That was his birthday, Wednesday. And he was getting married today.
As I said, it just seems a very, very cruel world that we live in. I think, as Christians, the non-Christians look to us to explain these kind of things. You know, the obvious one is, why does God allow these things to happen? And I think, as Christians, I don't think, no matter how much faith we have, we can't explain these things, because we don't do that. And I think these are some of the questions that time of a thousand years, these are the times for those questions hopefully be answered, and we'll be able to understand why we see these things happen and why they hurt so much. But other than that, we can only just pray for the people that are left behind, the people that are dealing with this pain, this sadness. And I think certainly as we get older in life, unfortunately, it becomes something more common to us, because, you know, our family, our friends, and everything, they all get older and they all, you know, succumb at some point to another. And it is a difficult thing. I think we just have to move forward and find a way of being there for those people left behind.
I think we can pray for our baptismal candidates. As Pastor Leland has pointed out, they will be the special target of the devil.
So
we should uphold them, especially in prayer.
Yes. I was recalling some of this morning about Mrs. Brother, that when my own wife chose to be baptised, and the week before lots of things happened and we were all like, and then somebody telling me afterwards at Leamington Church, speaking to me quite a length about how much, even afterwards, even though you're joyful of the whole thing, things will happen.
How long does it last?
The rest of your life.
The challenge is the rest of your life. The best thing about it is you have somebody there with you that is stronger than anything you will ever be able to, to encounter, and will support you. And as long as you call on his help, you will be able to endure anything that comes to you in your life. Because that is the one great thing about God, is that if you call upon him for help, especially in times where you are being attacked by the enemy, he will be there by your side and he will fight for you.
Yes,
and fill you with joy.
Yes,
in the process. And you will be a strong person. That's one of the other things you have to remember. When those attacks come, afterwards, you are a stronger person. Even this church, where it's been attacked by the devil, right at its centre, the church has gone forward and become a stronger church, a better church. And every time I feel that the devil comes along and tries to do something to drag me away from God, then God comes along and I realise that a little bit more how important it is to be close to God and makes me stronger in my faith. So it's not something to be scared of particularly or worried about. It's something to actually say, well, this is the right thing. This will help me. This will take me forward and make me stronger as a person, somebody who is a representative of God. So. Jeanette? I've just read your mind on the year
to this. I just want to thank God for continually being with my husband over his kingdom. Although he's very, very tired, he went back to bed this morning after his breakfast. But God has been with him and he knows that. He's been with him.
That's great to hear. And that's great to hear that Jim's moving forward in his health, and I hope that
he's got a few more sessions still, so we get worse and more tired. But if, same as me, if it's just tiredness, we can put up with that, we just go to bed. That's it.
Yeah.
He's sleeping up, we slept our way through the chemo.
Yeah. I think from a man's perspective as well, just sleeping like that's just a brilliant thing, because we can. I think generally we just like to sort of take it easy.
Luckily he's not working, so it
has.
I'd like to ask prayers for my young people for my team this year. Parker has had quite a difficult home life. It is so bad that on Friday, when we finished the last residential, they didn't even want to go home to have to deal with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a bad situation for them. And there's not really anything we can do at work, because obviously, you know, they're adults, they're young adults, it's their choice. So.
I think the thing is, you're right, you can't change that situation. That thing that they find unpleasant, wherever it may be, is there. But you can do something. And it sounds as though you are doing that. You're being there for them when they're in with your presence. And I think that is an important thing, you know, if nothing else. I know from the things that my wife has said with the children she deals with at the school, that quite often that time they have at school is their solace, their escape from unpleasant home life. And I think that's the thing to do is maybe from that perspective. I mean, what we should pray for and God from them is obviously to be able to endure through that difficulty, but also to be able to, for all of you, to be able to make that time they have with you and away from that problem the best it could possibly be, so they have that joy in their life. So you are doing something wonderful for those people. So, anyone else? I'd like to say thank you to God for my mum. I'd like to apologise for my lack of faith. And it's a good job Julia's got lots of faith. But as you know, my mum's been in the hospital, had a hip replaced. She's been in there a lot more than she should have been because she's a southern old biddy. So, I knew you said something else then, but I remember where I was.
The same for
outside. Yeah. Sorry about that. You know, she didn't do what she was told, so it's taken her longer to recover, and I think it will take her longer to recover. But she is recovering. She came home yesterday. So something did come home this week, maybe not football, but my mum came home this week. It's just a challenge now is getting her back into a home life and getting her over the next few weeks back to living her independent life that she had thought. It was a big worry that she wasn't going to do that. So I thank God for people having faith. I thank God for putting up with me not having the faith when I should have. And I just thank you all for your prayers that you gave before my mum was going to hospital. Anybody else?
I just want to say for parents also pray for me since the accident. I am getting better each day. I'm sorry for sure. But I still got a little bit of work to go. So just still in hand before I can just continue. But I know how it's working out.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? No, no. Spot everything. God is there with everything.
Yes. I just want to pray for my friend Sophie because she's been discharged from hospital now. She's on the road to recovery. Well, she's completely different, but I went and visited her yesterday. And she's just so lovely. I love her to pieces. Like, you can tell she's just Sophie still. But yeah, just pray that she adapts to home life well and stuff.
It's fantastic to hear you say that from what you said before. She's from home, and she's on the road to recovery, and also the fact that, that change that look is there. That's so important in life, that love. And it's what God gave us, that wonderful gift that He gave us, His own love, we can share, not just as Christians, but as human beings. That is the thing that holds us all together, the sort of jam that sticks us together, whatever you want to call it, but it's so important, and without that in life, and that in the world, it's a very, very bad and sad time. So, it's a good thing. Did you think somebody else would have heard of it? No, this is a difficult part for me now, I have to bring all this together in a prayer. So if we bow our heads. Dear Lord, as ever, we give thanks for this day we can come together as a fellowship. This day is so much more special as we later go and see two of our own baptised in your name so they can start that journey with you in a new way and a new life. And we look forward to this. We look forward to being with them in that way. We ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers and those that have prayed for their friends and their families and those in difficulty and those that are suffering. We ask, Lord, for you to guide us so we can help them as much as we possibly can. Give us the strength in our love so we can share that with them and they can feel that warmth and your love through us. We ask that you be with them yourself, bring them comfort and help them with their pain, their sorrow, help them with their recovery, help them just be themselves in life so they can see through the difficulties and hopefully see a bright future. And despite the pain and suffering, they can still see and feel that bright and hopeful future that can be there for all of us. We ask the Lord that you strengthen them, and hopefully that through that time, it will strengthen their faith, bring them close to you, and they will see the wonderful love that you give to them. We ask you to be with us when we leave this place, when we go to Richard and Bobby's for the baptism. We ask you to be with us all there and remember you in this process and how we can all be together in that way. Now, afterwards, Lord, we ask you to be with us, keep us safe. We ask you for forgiveness of our sins. As we all know, we are not so perfect and we all have our difficulties. We ask you to protect us from evil and guide us through those times when we're tempted to walk away from that narrow path that you keep us on. As always, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name.
We see love and him together before the throne of God of God.
Verse 16 to chapter 4, verse 1.
Matthew chapter
3, verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So with this sermon today, let's just try to visualize this image. Visualize the image of Jesus being baptized and then led into the wilderness. And if you can think of being in water, coming out of water and moving into the wilderness or the desert. And from the beginning of the scriptures, we read about God's mighty power being outworked in the presence of water. In the beginning, the earth was covered in water, and the Spirit hovered above the waters, and the mighty miracle of creation took place. But soon after that, something's gone wrong, and Adam and Eve have been expelled into a pleasant wilderness as such. The world was still in a much better shape than today, but they went away. When you look at the time when the waters came, at the time of Noah, brought destruction, and when Noah opened the doors of the ark, again there was wilderness, there was nothing there. There was a new start coming from the water, but then followed immediately by a challenge. What do you do? There is nothing there. Doesn't seem to be there anything for us. There's just wilderness. And the Israelites, they faced the same issue. God took them out of Egypt, liberated them through his mighty power. And he took them to the water of the Red Sea. That was the new start for them. Once they crossed that barrier, went through the water, they're free. But at the same time, as soon as they crossed it, they went into the wilderness. And some of you will remember the stories how they constantly complained and they tempted the Lord in the wilderness. Complained, and tempted the Lord. And they fell apart from the Lord. They fell into temptation. That's not really mentioned in directly in the books of Moses, but we know who's behind all these things, who drugs people away from God. And that's why in the New Testament we're encouraged to not be like people in the desert at Massa and Meribah, complained and then half of them died in the desert. More than that. Then when you come to the book of Revelation, jump a bit forward before I come back to Jesus and the baptism, we have this image of the woman who flees into the desert. And at the beginning, it all looks good, but then at the end of the book, towards the end of chapter 17, you see that you're taken by the Spirit into the wilderness again while journeys. And it is the woman riding on the beast. So it was a bit of a desert of temptation for this woman to talk about church or symbolical, who's really been tempted by the devil and made a compromise by him, riding the beast, being in a mysterious union with the devil rather than with God. So whether you talk about the people of old, the ancient times, the prehistoric times, the people of the Old Testament, you could say the people of Israel, or the New Testament church in the book of Revelation, we find that we are all in the same situation. We all struggle with the same things, and that none of us seem to be capable to deal with the problem the way Jesus has done. Both in the Old and in the New Testament, both the Old Church, the New Testament Church, they come into the wilderness, they're tempted, and they fail and they fall. Some kind of compromise, on some level, compromise with the devil. And that's always, from the beginning, when the first couple sin, until the end, when Jesus comes. What you find also in the book of Revelation, when you come towards the end of the book, that the conclusion, the culmination of the story, we're told that God sort of, even the water that is there, it's been withdrawn, and God dries up the river Euphrates, and he withdraws, the water is gone completely. The spirit is gone, the water is, everything is gone, and the end comes. And of course they have the wonderful image of God restoring the earth, creating everything anew, and then from the throne of God, there is a river of water of life, more than sufficient for all those who will dwell on earth forever. There's no more wilderness there anymore. But it was not so for Jesus. He came out of water, and he also was led into wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he was the only one, the only person on this planet ever, who ever lived as a part of humankind, who did not make any kind of compromise with the devil in the slightest. Compared to the Israelites in the desert, and the woman in the desert in Revelation, who both fall into temptation, he does something different. He sets the stage for a new start, a new beginning. He sets the precedence. And really what this story tells us is that there is no other way for us to make it. The enemy is too powerful for us, but there is somebody who is more powerful than him, who has defeated him, who is victorious over him. The only way for us to make it is through Jesus and with Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other way. He is the way. If you look elsewhere, anywhere else you look, people look for all kinds of things in this world to help them. They look for help because they are struggling, they are suffering. Boy, there's so many different places and broken bells and dried up bells that you can look into, and fake hopes and false promises. There is no other way for us to make it but through Jesus Christ. And he taught us there is nothing to fear. Steve mentioned this morning the story of Jesus being in the boat and showing his power over nature. Just say, peace, be still. That is who he is. Creator in flesh. There is nothing for us to fear. There is nothing for us to worry about if we place all of our hopes in Jesus Christ. If we commit ourselves to him. And especially for Dennis and Lydia, trying to remember this. And he is calling us to commitment to him. If we commit to him the same way he commits to us, without any reserve, without holding anything back, then there is no way to break this relationship. As Paul says, not even angels, nor demons, nor death, nor life, nor nothing can separate us from the love of God. Only us, ourselves, can do that. We cannot blame anybody else. God will never let us go. He said, he promised to us he'll be with us until the end. It's only in strictly singly up to us. We are the only ones who can choose to separate ourselves from him. As far as he is concerned, he will never let us go. So we can choose to pull our hand out of his hand, and walk, turn around and walk away. But if we choose to stretch our hands to heaven, hold them to his hand, well, nobody can break this bond. People cannot break this bond. The angels and demons, the devil, God's mighty arm is much more stronger and powerful than his arm. Nobody can break this bond. So, today, as you enter the waters of baptism, and we talked about this a little bit, when the devil comes and attacks, and how long it will last. Well, it's not about how long it lasts, because you get crisis in life. Usually life is sort of
fairly balanced when you've got ups and downs and big times of crisis. They didn't last long. That's the nature of crisis. Burns out like flaming fire. But remember this. When you enter into the place of wilderness or into the times of wilderness, stay strong in Jesus Christ. Stick close to Him. Hold on to His hand and never let go. Because the times will come. And you will be tempted and tested. But Jesus says, fear not. I have overcome the world. I have the keys to life and death. In me you have life and life everlasting. Remember these words. Remember these things. And keep reading them every day because you forget. So this is a message for our candidates today, the message for us to remind us maybe what we've been through in the past. Maybe what we are going through right now in our lives, and maybe what may be just around the corner and may hit us unexpectedly any day now. Just remember, where our hopes and trust should be placed, and where we can be strong and safe and have the peace of God. So, nothing else to say for me today, but let us all enjoy this day. This wonderful day for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And we are told that on these occasions we join the entire heaven, and it's the angels of God and the Father in heaven that are rejoicing when these things happen. When the sinner decides to commit their life to God. Just try and imagine that visually. We cannot see it, but the Spirit is here with us, the angels are here with us, and we all join together rejoicing. May God's name be glorified to this day.
Amen. Amen. As our final song together, let's sing the river. To the river I am going. This is a song of commitment. Very good for people thinking about being baptized, but I see this song very personally as well, I'm sure you do.
To the river, Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there.
Falling apart around us in this world. Now is not the time for us to hold back or to withdraw from you, but to commit to you and cling to you and stay committed to you, to run to you, to hold on to you, to trust you unreservedly. Pray, dear Lord, especially for Dennis and Lydia, that you may bless them today through the presence of your Holy Spirit, in whichever way you choose to manifest yourself in their lives today and for the rest of their lives. May you bless them with the gifts and the fruit of your Holy Spirit. May you strengthen them, may you equip them, may you lead them and guide them all the way, dear Lord, to the place where you want them to be, in your kingdom, to see you face to face. Bless us now, dear Lord, and may you please be with us through the rest of the service as we go through the baptism now. May you please fill our hearts with joy and peace that comes from above. May your name be glorified through all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.